This last week was Robin's birthday, so I guess as a little birthday present, we went to Florida and spent some time with family. But before I went down, I went out and tried to find a card. You know, try to find a card for a birthday is always difficult. So, and it is for me. And so I did manage to find a card that had the first line on it was, "I was thinking of you." And that was actually a line in our courtship when we first met and spent a weekend together up at her family's camp. When I was leaving, I didn't know what to say, so I rolled down the window and what I said, I'll be thinking of you. And so I left, and the summer went by, and she was expecting a letter or something because we had a fantastic time, and I don't write, so. So she didn't get one of those, and so a little later she said, "Well, you never wrote me." And I said, "I didn't say I was going to write you. I said I'd be thinking of you." So the question here's the point, is that when you care for somebody, you tend to have your mind go, and you begin to think about them. And so when you think about somebody, you know, you're remembering your history with them, you're remembering your different things like that, and you're thinking about the future. What do they need, you know? And so when you think of somebody, it is the one major way that we really love one another and care for one another. So here's my question for you. When you think of God, what do you think about? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of God? Well, I want to challenge you to say that if you don't think that He's good, and that's not one of the first things that comes to your mind, I think you're missing it. Because if you're thinking about, "Oh, gee, I wonder what he thought about my actions," or thought about how, you know, if he's going to be upset with me because I'm not doing this right or that right, I really believe you're missing what God is really like. So today, what I want to talk about is His mercy, and that God's mercy is an amazing thing. And so I wanted to talk about that a little bit. And first I want to maybe define it a little bit. So let's look at Luke chapter 10. And it's a story that we're probably all familiar with. It's a story of the Good Samaritan. It's a story that Jesus told after being asked, "Who is my neighbor?" You know, he had the lawyer that wanted to get things right. He says he does everything perfectly, and he says, "Well, you know, love your neighbor." He said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" Right? So with an attitude, I think. And so Jesus began to tell this story, and you know, Jesus was a master storyteller. I don't know if you realize that, but if you read the parables or read the stories that he told, every word is important, and even the words that maybe he left out for a reason. So he starts this off, and this story. He says a certain man went down from Jerusalem along the Jericho road, and you know, he didn't tell us what kind of man. But we realize he's telling it to a Jewish audience, so they would have automatically thought that this man was Jewish. So I believe the man was Jewish, but Jesus did not mention it, and I think he didn't mention what kind of man he was for a reason. And the reason was the impact of the story was coming, and he began to tell the story that he, you know the story that he was mugged along the way, and it says he was left for half dead, and everything was taken, and you know, all his provisions, and there he lays along the side of the road. And first the priest goes by and sees him and passes by on the other side. And then it says a Levite, you know, the most important people to the Jewish faith, are there and they didn't respond to them. He went along the other side. And then it says a Samaritan. Ooh, those ugly Samaritans, those half-breeds, those, you know, the people we don't really like, saw him. And it says he had compassion on him. Do you see that? It says he had compassion on him. And it says that he went down and he bandaged his wounds and he took care of him, put him on his donkey and brought him to an inn and said, you know, gave him wine and helped him with whatever he needed, and then left and he told the innkeeper, you know, if there's any bill past what I paid you now, when I come back, I'll pay you. I'm going to take care of this man. It's a powerful story. And Jesus asked the question. Let's see what the question was. It says, which of these three do you think? Do you think, right? He's just asking it specific to the man who asked the question. Do you think is the neighbor who fell among the thieves? And the man says, the one who showed mercy. You see, mercy is compassion with action. That's what mercy is. We can have compassion for somebody, but if it doesn't, the compassion doesn't bring us to action, it's really not mercy. So it's compassion with action. That's mercy. You know, I wanted to, there's a couple other quick things I wanted to mention, is that the mercy of God is all through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. It's all through the Bible. Some of the first attributes that we place to God is that he's merciful. And anybody in the Bible who understood God understood his mercy. I'm thinking of in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, David, after he sinned by counting the people, you know, God needed to judge him for his sin. And so he sent the prophet to him and said, you've sinned. Yes, I understand I sinned. And God's going to give you a choice. And he gives him three things. He says, you can have a famine for 3 years, or you can have 3 months of your enemies taking over, or a plague for 3 days. And David didn't answer him. But what he said was, David answered and he said, I am greatly distressed. Please let me fall into the hands of God, for his mercy is very great. But do not let me fall into the hands of man. See, man can be compassionate and give mercy, but it's odd. It's odd outside of us knowing God and knowing his mercy and being able to learn from him and understand that that's the way we should act. So David, no way he wanted to fall into the hands of man, but let me fall into the hands of God. Even though he's the one judging me, even though he's the one that I fear the most, but I know that he is merciful. You know, in Psalm 103, it's a wonderful psalm, but it's a psalm of talking about God as being merciful. And I was thought about reading through that today, but I'm not sure that I'm going to, but I'm going to leave it for you guys for a homework assignment. So your homework assignment this week is to read through Psalm 103, and it's all about the mercy of God. But there is one verse that I wanted to point out and why I originally looked up this psalm. And it's in 13, it says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fears him. You know, as a parent, I had to have mercy on my children. You know, I always made sure they behaved, right? You know, they got a lot of discipline in their life because, you know, they needed to behave. But on occasion, you know, maybe they missed their nap, or maybe we were out late and we were coming home and they're arguing in the back seat and they're not getting along and things are not going well. I could have disciplined them. But no, I had pity on them because they're overtired. And they can't control their actions right now because they're children. And even though I made sure that I disciplined them, there was times to have mercy or have pity on your children. And that's the way God is with us, is that even though he disciplines us and he makes sure that we're walking in the right way, he knows our weaknesses. And that's what it goes on to talk about in the next part of this chapter. It says that man and his days are like grass, and as the flower in the field, it flourishes, but the wind passed by and it's gone. See, man is weak. Our flesh is weak. And God has mercy on us. He has pity on us because we are flesh and we have weaknesses. Even though he's bringing to us discipline, he's bringing to us chastising us because we need it to become mature. We need it to know that we're walking along the right path and begin to change our ways. But he always, always has mercy on us. There's a second part of mercy that's in Romans chapter 9, and it talks about a choice that God makes related to mercy. And maybe another day I want to spend some time on that. But today I want to spend more time on just thinking about our Heavenly Father, who's merciful to us. And with that, I want to talk about one more parable that Jesus spoke about, and it's the prodigal son. We all know that parable really well, but today I want to go through that parable and talk about it. It's in Luke also, chapter 15. Starting at verse 11, I want to talk about this parable today, not in perspective of looking at what the son went through, but understand it from the point of view of what the father experienced, what the father went through. So let's think about that. This father had two sons. Both of the sons were very different. The older one always followed the rules and always did what the father asked and felt proud about it. And really, you know, whatever was going on, he was always there. He was always doing whatever the father wanted and following through with what he was supposed to do. And he worked hard for the father. I think the other son was quite a bit different. I think the older son probably wasn't very social. He liked hanging out. He liked working. You know, he did what he was supposed to do, whatever he was told, and that was a little bit of his personality. But the younger son, I think, was very outgoing. He's very social. Probably a clown. He's probably always getting in trouble because he was always making jokes. And I think the father enjoyed him a lot. He enjoyed the son a lot. You know, he's growing up. He's always making the father laugh, and they had a good time together. But when the son got a little older, instead of sharing all his thoughts and views on him, he found himself in his room all the time. And there he started to isolate himself in the room, and the father began to wonder, what's wrong with my son? He was always so lively. He's always so there. He's always wanting to know what I was about. He's always asking me questions all the time, and I loved it. But now his son is isolated in his room, and so he's concerned. Then one day the son comes out of his room and he says, Dad, give me what is owed to me. Give me my livelihood now. Instead of waiting until the father passed, he wanted his inheritance then. And so the father, I guess in wisdom, he decided, okay, you know, I don't know what you're about right now, but okay, that's what you're asking me, I'll give it to you. So he gives him what is owed him, and his son packs up and his leaves. Can you imagine how the father felt? Can you imagine how the father is experiencing this thing that my son not only having problems, he's rejecting me. He doesn't care about the relationship that we used to have. Can you imagine the father maybe going down to the market and everybody is gossiping? He said, Do you know what his younger son did to him? And the shame of that? Well, at least he's got an older son that works for him. That's some comfort to him. But that younger son, I don't know what he did wrong with him. But he's not a good son. You know, the father took the shame. I don't think he ever responded to all this gossip that was going on and really laid out his heart to these so-called friends in the market. But there he is. His son has left and he doesn't know where he's gone and he's concerned about him and there's no way to contact him. And he doesn't know where he's gone. Understanding that the relationship was broken. But we know the story. The son finally comes to his senses after losing all his money in bad living. And then there's a famine that comes on the land and he finds himself in a place that he never dreamed of. In the pig pen, eating with the swine. Do you know how pigs eat? Think about that. So he wakes up in his senses and he says, I'm going to return to my father because even the servants have bread to share. So he gets up and he's walking back. And it says it was a far-off land, so it probably took him several days to get there. And by the time he's getting there, he's probably very hungry because how much corn could he put in his pocket that he got out of the pig pen, right? And so he's walking back, and it says while he was still a far way off, the father saw him. Now, how did the father see him when he was far way off? But he was looking. He was thinking about his son. He was probably praying to the father, his father, about that. And he was looking in maybe a place where he always went every morning looking for his son to come. And he sees them. You know, I don't know about you if you've been hurt before by someone really bad that was close to you. You know, you might feel a little proud about that point. You know, I'm going to go sit in my chair and wait for my son to show up and see what he's got to say. That would be the human response, wouldn't it? But not this father. This father picks himself up as an older man and he begins to run towards his son. You know, in the culture of that day, running for an old man was undignified. It was not something that old men did. And if you did, it was because there was something
shameful about it, you know, that you had to panic and rush that much that you would run. But again, the Father doesn't care about the shame of what His Son has done to Him. But He only cares about His Son. So He runs to Him and He falls on His neck and He begins to kiss Him. And I think the Son tried to get out the words that He rehearsed, that, you know, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against You. Would You forgive me? Let me be one of Your servants. And he finally gets the words out while His Father is kissing Him, and His Father ignores Him. He doesn't even respond to His Son. He just says to His servants, you know, get me a cloak, give me some sandals, get a ring, put it on, ring on Him, and kill the fatted calf. He completely ignores what His Son has said in His repentance. And He says, my Son was dead, and now He's alive. Now we know the Son never died, but He did die to His Father. He did die in relationship, and now the relationship is restored just by the Son returning. See, the mercy of God is far beyond what we can comprehend. The mercy of God in Psalm 103 that we were talking about first, in verse 11, it says that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so great is the mercy towards those who fear Him. See, the mercy of God is higher for us than the heavens. The heavens that we cannot reach. Maybe a little bit now with an airplane or something. But back then, there's no way to get to the heavens when this was written. But His mercy is higher than the heavens. And so it says that the grace of God is so much more than our sins. It's because His mercy is higher than the heavens. And unless we begin to understand His mercy and how great it is for us, then we cannot truly understand our relationship with Him. Because our sin and our actions and our thoughts are not correct, are not in a good place. And yet His mercies are far above and cover all of those things. And it's hard for us to comprehend that because we live in this world that is full of sin. We live in a world that is so far below the standard of God that it is truly hard for us to understand that He had to send His only begotten Son, the One who never sinned, to become a sacrifice that we could become worthy and receive His mercy. I don't know if we can fully comprehend that. But our thoughts need to be towards God. Our thoughts need to be of Him. When I wake up tomorrow morning, my thoughts need to be turned to God and what He has done for me. and understand that he is good and his goodness is towards me. And that day I can get up again and begin to try, to begin to do what I can in his spirit, to become what he wants me to be as a son. Because that's the point of this prodigal story, is that we are all this kind of son that have returned to him and now are enjoying the party, are enjoying the fatted calf with him. So I don't know how you feel all about that, but I wanted to express some of the character of God that we live, that we can enjoy and be a part of, and it can become part of us. Because it says that as we look into the mirror and we look into it dimly, it says that we're also becoming more like Christ every day. And if you read through the scriptures and how Christ responded to every situation, that especially the ones that he healed people, it always has this phrase in it, is that he looked on them with compassion and then he healed them. See? That's mercy. Compassion with action. When we look around at the people around us, and there's so many needs that are there, one, we need to have compassion in our heart to respond to the needs that are all around us. And then two, we need to know what God wants us to do. And if he is speaking to us to go pray for that person, or give them a dollar, or take them to a meal, or whatever he's speaking to us, that's what we need to do. Because it needs to be his mercy and not our mercy. It's the mercy of God that changes people, not my mercy. See, I may have compassion on somebody, but I have no idea how to bless them. I could do something that God doesn't want me to do, even though I have compassion over that person, because I don't understand the situation. But God does. And so he gives us his spirit that we can walk by his spirit and then be able to have mercy on people because we're being led by him. And it's his compassion and it's his actions that come through us. So I want to challenge you again that this week you would spend a little time thinking about God, thinking about his mercy, and maybe reading through Psalm 103 a couple times this week, that the understanding of the blessings of God's mercy can be strong in our hearts, and that as we go through our difficulties of life, we're not thinking all about me or all about yourself, but you begin to think about God and others. And that's in your mind and not about yourself. The Christmas season is coming up and it comes with so many pitfalls and so many distractions. But if we can separate the distractions from the reason that we're giving a gift to somebody, that we're thinking about them, and we give them a gift that's important to them because we thought about it, it becomes a blessing from God and not just a gift. So I want to encourage you in this area. I learned a lot in this area from Robin. She's a really good gift giver. And so it's really a beautiful experience when you give a gift and it's because you thought about the person and God gave you what to do. And then you do that and you see a whole different reaction than to just us giving a gift because we had to, right? So I encourage you in that as well, with that. So let me just close with a word of prayer, and we might be done a little early today. And by looking around, it looks like I'm doing announcements, but so we'll see how that goes. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your mercy are new every morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have blessed us with family, that you have blessed us with our friends, and you have blessed us with your body. So, Lord, we just pray and ask that you would just show us and give us more of your compassion, more of your mercy, Lord, as we go through this season, that we would see you move in our midst, and that we would enjoy all that we're doing because you are in the midst of all that we're doing. So, Lord, I just want to pray for all those that are not here today, that are out sick or not feeling well or are traveling. Lord, just bless them, Lord, as well. Fill them with your mercy and grace. Give them what they need as they travel or they recover. And just give them rest for their souls and encourage them this day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.